everybody. This is What Tales Lurk in the Dark, an urban legend and folklore podcast.
I'm John.
I'm Teresa.
And this is our second attempt tonight.
My computer crashed.
Oh man, it was terrible. I was just about done with my section. Half hour has passed. It was great. It was a great
time. Yeah, it was not a fun time.
Should we say? We're both sick. I'm
sorry about the hiatus.
Sorry about the hiatus. I was working on a midterm last week. It was pretty brutal. I was basically devoting all my time writing to that. I'm editing this week and I'm pretty bad, so good luck, guys.
So sorry about that.
Sorry about my terrible editing skills.
My family's coming out this weekend, so.
Yay.
Yay.
Bringing
my dog.
Yay. I like Charlie. I'm tired. So let's get this over with.
Gosh, John doesn't like you people, I guess.
I love you guys. I'm just sad that I must. Because, like, now you know everything I'm going to say.
I was half listening, so it'll be a new experience.
Wow, I'm hurt.
I'm tired, too. What can I say?
Okay. Well.
I'm, like, falling asleep over here. I'm sick.
All right. So. Should I skip over the intro story? Did you like that? You've already heard it.
Because
I don't think it's my best work.
So. It's up to you.
Ah, damn. That's probably the worst story I've written so far.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think I've done worse?
I don't know if I would word it that way.
Alright, so I guess I'll just go ahead and do it. You exit the synagogue with a crowd of solemn faces. You were all told that the Catholic Church was on their way to investigate your town. You've heard that these investigations usually result in burning down the village. It seems like when you've heard people seeking refuge from their towns being burned down, it seems they are targeting Jewish towns specifically with these investigations. They say it's an act to protect their nation, but in reality, it's just to remove us from their borders. Everybody was scared that our beloved town was going to be burned down for a supposed heresy. The rabbi stated he is going to ensure that does not happen, but what can he do? So they have arrived. The town people rush into their homes to hide, while fathers and young men scrap together their haphazard militia, hoping to fend them off if the worst occurs. After some facade of an inspection, they turn to destroying the towns. You hide in your home, hearing the fire, and now that you've heard the fires have started and people screaming, soldiers in armor cutting down the militia, you go to attempt to escape from your back door. Then you hear something strange. Something that sounds like loud thumping that shakes the ground. Like as if trees were being cut down in the middle of your village. The fighting stopped, as if they were all standing still all suddenly. Your curiosity outweighed your fear, so you look through your front window, only to see a 10-foot man. One soldier screams, charge, but as soon as he gets close to it, he is easily tossed aside. You open your door to see this large thing easily defeat these elite soldiers like they're nothing. On closer inspection, you see this man was made of stone. After what soldiers that were left alive started running away, behind the expressionless stone man, you see a rabbi smiling smugly. So this week, if you haven't guessed by now, I am covering the golem. I initially wanted to cover something from Africa, and I attempted to cover the Sphinx only to find out it's just a symbol of Egyptian culture versus being an actual folklore creature. The actual only fictional story that includes the Sphinx is the Roman story of Oedipus. And upon further inspection, I found that really all Egyptian-like folklore creatures are rarely separated from their mythology. Like, I shouldn't say folklore creatures anyway, because it's like, their mythology and folklore were so intertwined, it's impossible to talk about one folklore creature without talking about their context within the story. They barely any of them exist without the story. Like, the sirens existed without the stories around them, you know? The Kappa existed without the stories told of them. They have, like, because the people who've heard of them believe they were there. Something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, like, the mythology of Egyptian mythology, like, the way that I've read about it, it seems like you had to know the story if you wanted to know the creature. Like, the story that they came from. Mm. So, if people really want to learn more about Egyptian folklore creatures, quote-unquote, I will go into them if asked, but it will be more mythology than folklore. But I can still cover them if requested. So, after that debacle, I decided, well, golems are Jewish, and Jewish people come from northeastern Africa, so it'll probably be easy to find its beginning there. I was wrong, and I was also right. I did that backwards. The joke I was meant, I originally did, was, I was right, but I was also wrong. Its origins are within the Oral Torah. Well, that didn't change. I screwed up saying oral twice from the original recording in this one. The Oral Torah is the verbal Jewish teachings passed orally through each generation, starting somewhere in the BCE. Then the Oral Torah was recorded in the first book of the Talmud in 200 CE. This is the first book, but both books are the central text of Rabbinic Judaism and the Halakha, the Jewish religious law. But the golem as we know it, does not become folklore until the 17th century in Poland and the Czech Republic. So, damn it, next week I will for sure cover an African creature. The modern interpretation of a golem is like either tall for a human or some 20-foot gargantuan non-organic creature. Like, it's either, oh, dude, that guy's kind of tall. Like To the Iron Giant. Quite literally. Being made out of clay, rock, ice, etc. It doesn't really have it. Like, as long as it's an inorganic or non-organic material, it's a golem. Other than that, it doesn't really have much of a consistent appearance. People nowadays just kind of take the concept of a non-organic thing that listens to commands and run with it, taking their own artistic license along the way. Some people are like, you want a core in the middle? You got it. You want eyes? They're pretty cool. You want it to have a mouth? No? Okay, no mouth. You know, shit like that. Like, they make it either 20 times bigger than it should, or stuff like that. As for a personality, normally the golem lacks one, and it's just a tool of another person. But there are some modern interpretations that it has a soul, an individual personality, but is just unwillfully controlled by another. I, off the top, can only think of two stories that have this, and they're both video games. Last podcast, we brought up Minecraft at this point. But no, that's not the game. Minecraft just has regular golems.
Sorry.
Unbelievable. I was talking about Final Fantasy IX for you PS1 nerds. And what was the other game that had a golem? Oh, Dragon Age series that has a lot of inspiration from European folklore. They have a golem that basically has a soul but is tied to a rock. Originally, the golem looked quite different. The first iteration really is just a lump of clay given minor sentience. And then onwards, it becomes a clay man at some point, and then it becomes a clay man with a word for truth. Oh, excuse me. Jesus. It becomes a clay man with a word for truth or God written on its forehead or neck. Oh, gosh. That Snickers really is making me burp for some reason.
That doesn't make any sense.
You know. As time goes on, it gets bigger and bigger. At one point, a rabbi talks about how it grows in size as it lives. It really, like, at first it was just the size of a normal person. But then, as the writings kept going on, they talked about how it was getting bigger and bigger. Mm. Yeah. But then at one point, a rabbi said that it made a female-shaped golem to help with household chores. As problematic as that is.
Clay sex dolls.
Clay sex dolls. Like, so let's talk about its cultural origins. Like I mentioned before, the golem was first mentioned in the Oral Torah. But in what context? Well, it is said that Adam was first a golem made of clay before God breathed life into him and made him into a man. Later on in the Torah, the fourth generation rabbi, Riva, created a man from clay and sent him with a message to another rabbi, which is then revealed that the clay man could not speak. So the clay man had somewhat of a sentience. He was obedient, but he still didn't seem like a complete automaton with no personality, but he couldn't speak, so that kind of sucked. The other rabbi, upon learning this, says, you are created by sages, return to your dust, practically telling it to kill itself. I don't know how that story ends, but it probably ends with the golem killing himself. Oh, we're both sick with like a cough, so we're probably gonna cough a lot.
We've already coughed a lot.
It's true. We will not see the golem mentioned again until the Middle Ages, where the Safa Yetzira, Book of Creation was written. It was basically a book on how to create and awaken a golem. So the first story written about a golem that elevated status to folklore was written somewhere between 1630 and 1650. The story is called The Golem of Chelm, and later on, the most popular work about the golem in history, which is separate from this one. That one's just the first one. This one's the popular one, which mirrors the one I just mentioned, is named The Golem of Prague. Though the creation and destruction parts are pretty parallel, the reasoning for its creation and the acts of the golem is quite different. The Chelm golem existed to serve, while the Prague golem existed to protect. Mm-hmm. Teresa already heard all of this, so I doubt she's going to have any awake commentary.
Like, I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah, before you had some pretty funny quips and reactions.
I'm sorry, I don't remember them all.
No, it's fine.
I did remember the clay sex dolls, though.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of muttered it, but it probably sounded, like, really disingenuous, like clay sex dolls.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay.
See, this is why... It sucks that we had to restart. Also, Kingsley's here. Hi, Kingsley.
He's actually sitting near us. Sometimes I think he doesn't like the podcast because he, like, avoids us while we're doing it.
Right? I think it's strange.
Hi, Kitty. You look sleepy.
Come here, Kingsley.
Did you just wake up from a nap?
Yeah, I think he did.
Aw.
He's sniffing my finger.
Boy.
Aw. He headbutted my finger. All right. What was I just talking about? Prague. Oh, yeah. So now we're on to the lore. So you want to make a golem?
Yes.
Well, to make it the Prague way, first you have to be an old rabbi.
Done.
This part's a little hard. It might be take a few years. It will definitely take a few years to complete if you're not already an old rabbi.
If you want to know how to do this as fast as you can, also purchase How to Become a Rabbi for Dummies 101.
There you go. Second is you have to get a load of clay and shape it into a humanoid figure.
So you also have to take art classes.
Yes. I mean, it doesn't have to look like a person. That just kind of gives it bonus points. At least people might not run screaming if they see it. But no, you can make it like a fleshless, weird human.
Side note, also, we've been... Well, John's rewatching it, but I'm watching it for the first time as Full Metal Alchemist. So would... What is Ed's brother's name? I forget.
Alphonse.
Would Alphonse be considered a golem?
I think he... the episode that we just ended on, he's definitely contemplating it. Since he's a human soul tied to a thing, it's definitely inspired by the concept of golems. But the golem isn't The golem doesn't have a human soul. If it does have a soul, is argued, but Alphonse has a human soul. If he's right now contemplating that if he ever was human, and if he was having like a Descartes moment where he's like, how do I know that I was ever human? How do I know my memories are real? He's like being inspired by Descartes' philosophy, where it's like, oh, there's no proof your memories are real. You could have just been made yesterday.
And yeah, so check out our Full Metal Alchemist analyzation on our YouTube channel. Like, comment, subscribe. No, we don't actually have that. I'm kidding.
Look, that I will make it tomorrow. I will analyze the fuck out of it. Full Metal has the best to say about philosophy, religion, and atheism.
Back to rabbis. Yeah. 101.
Back to rabbis.
How to build your golem.
So, yes, you are making golem. You've made it into a humanoid figure. It doesn't have to look great, as long as it has two arms, two legs, and a mouth. Head. No, it needs a mouth.
Before you said it doesn't need a mouth.
Well, I mean, that's because that's the modern interpretation. Mm. The original interpretation, it definitely needs a hole.
I definitely remember the mouth.
Preferably have it eyes, because you do want it to see. The eyes don't have to be literal eyes. Don't like...
I'm trying to...
They could be just something that looks like eyes.
Trying to figure out if I can hear Kingsley's crunching.
This might picking be the up most... On the mics. Other than him, like, jumping and hitting the floor, this might be the most interaction
I guess we picked him when he was actually awake, but sorry for interrupting you.
Okay, so, yeah, you want to make it look loosely like a person. All right, now, part three of this. You have to write... word for God. Also, fun fact, there's like 20 words for God in Judaism. And even in the Old Testament, there's five different like words for God used. So that's a loose thing. Don't quote me. I'm just saying there's multiple words for God. You have to use the word for God that only rabbis are taught right into their mouth. This kind of channels the magic. But to actually awaken the creature, you need step four. You write the word truth on its forehead. This will awaken the creature. Well, it opened its eyes. It's not really looking around, but its eyes are open. What do you do now? Well, now you need to give it a command. But don't try yelling at it. It won't respond. The only way that it accepts commands...
Because you didn't give it ears.
Oh, fuck. I didn't think of that. Even if you gave it ears, it wouldn't respond.
Unless you wrote the word for ear on the inside. Maybe.
No.
I'm just making stuff up now.
I mean, I don't think, I think golems can hear, they just don't respond because they're automatons, you know?
Okay.
So it's like this classical golem in Prague, well, actually Prague golem's a bit different, but this version of the golem is more like the golem from Shem, at least that when it was firstborn, quote unquote. The only thing it responded to was writing your command on a piece of paper and then shoving it into its mouth. You gotta make it bore the paper. And then,
I was thinking more like a paper shredder.
Yeah, that works.
Like a walking, not talking paper shredder.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't talk. That's another thing. Golems don't really have a personality of their own until they do. That depends on the fiction, by the way. Mm. So, alright, great. You have a fully fledged golem now. It's awake, it's able to accept commands. Here's some precautions that you should take. Be as specific as you can. For instance, do not write simply, get firewood. If you do, he will collect as much wood as he can. That includes the entirety of the closest forest near you. It could also include every forest everywhere, unless you stop it.
To be fair, though, just cutting down a tree and then using it for firewood isn't really good firewood, so I don't know if they would do that. Because alive trees aren't going to, like, you know,
they're not
burn
experts
as
on
good
wood.
As wood that's been that dried out for a
they're
time.
They're literally clay that was bored yesterday. They're not
going to
know the
difference.
But we just
assume that they know the alphabet and stuff and that they know what words mean, so why shouldn't they know what good firewood is and what isn't good firewood?
Because they aren't intelligent beings.
Okay, but they already know the language and everything.
You know, third graders know the language, yet they'll probably, like, if they see
I'm pretty sure a third grader would grab me a good stick rather than cut down a tree.
All right, I'll use a different example.
Okay.
So say you need some water, and you say, and you write down, go fetch some water. It'll take the entire well's worth of water and figure out a way to bring it to you.
Isn't it made of clay? Wouldn't that, like, make it melt?
It's magic.
I don't know.
It's also in all different buckets.
Oh, it just keeps going back and forth?
Yeah.
I think you would catch it by the first couple times. Be like, okay, you can stop now.
Well, imagine if you're watching TV and don't.
I don't think these old rabbis had TV way back in the day.
All right, you know what? I'm bringing up a story. Since Teresa wants to keep being like this, I'm going to have to read a story. All right.
I obviously read How to Make a Golem for Geniuses. Ignore me. I'm embarrassing.
No, yeah. Here's one straight from the Golem of Prague.
Straight from the golem's mouth. You heard it here first, people. You're just staring with a blank face.
I'm, like, trying to find the piece.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just, you know,
reacting.
Sick of life. I don't know. And I'm like, see you. Oh, are you just trying to find your story?
Yeah.
I'll stall. Okay, I forgot to say this in the intro, so this is an important thing anyway, but we're also, thanks to Anchor, not being sponsored or anything yet, but we're on a ton of new platforms, so we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcast, I'm pretty sure, I tried to look it up, but the link wasn't working, so I might have to look into that again. We're also on iTunes and a couple other places like Podbean and other podcast hosting sites. But I'm sure the majority of our listeners probably listen through, like, SoundCloud, Spotify, yada yada, iTunes, for you Apple users. So yeah, now we have multiple different platforms, so if listening on SoundCloud was a hassle to you and you're like, dang, I really want to listen to them somewhere else, well, now you can! Also, if you want to find all those links, we have a link to our Anchor account, which links to all of our other social media, I'm pretty sure. I need to check again. But if you just check out Facebook, I, like, normally post an update whenever there's a new place that you can listen to us. So, yeah. Good stalling. Did you find I can't believe you haven't found the story yet.
The problem is that I closed the link where I had the story originally.
Okay, is there anything else I need to promote?
Okay, is this the story?
I hope so.
Because I closed the link, that's the issue here.
Oh my goodness.
Alright, so basically what happened was, generally, it was asked to refill water tanks. He filled the water tanks a bit too much, to the point where the entire farm was flooded and all the crops died.
Oh.
You gonna think your way out of that one?
Gosh, that was so hostile. Give me a second. I'm sure I can.
Oh, man. I kid.
Maybe they were farming in a not very good place anyway. To be fair, because it sounds like they're really close to the water table. And, like, farming really close to the water table is a real good way to get groundwater pollution.
How do you know that they're close to the water table?
Because if it's flooding from the well...
It's not flooding from the
which
well.
Is connected to the groundwater aquifers. Well. You just said he filled up the well too much.
The tank?
There's a water tank?
Equivalent.
But how's the water going out? Is it an above ground water tank?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And exists to spread water throughout the entire farm. Mm-hmm. Because believe it or not, people were dumb in the 1600s.
Well, I don't know. We live in a farming town right now that's really close to the water table, and it always floods, so...
This is Prague.
They do... Fun fact, they do this thing called tiling. for places that are close to the water table, where they'll put pipes, like lines of pipes, after the harvest to...
Fab, this is a folklore podcast.
Oh, this isn't a farming podcast.
This isn't a farming podcast.
I probably sound like I go outside a lot. I really don't.
You just look up hot. Like, are you all like on farmersonly.com?
I'm on a farmer's Reddit thread.
Oh, that's fucking perfect.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just kidding.
Oh my god.
But I should be. Mm-hmm. Farmers National.
Farmers meme page.
Farmers Association. I need them farm memes. I follow a Twitter that posts cows daily, so.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Cute cows.
All right. So. Finally, we're done with precaution one.
I'm sorry. You asked me.
So after you, so say it starts overfilling the water tank specifically, because if I use any other example, it'll get shot down.
You asked me to think my way out of it. I'm sorry. You did this to yourself.
And the only way to do that is to take the previous paper out of its mouth or put a new one in. So depending on the size of that you made your golem, this could be relatively easy or extremely hard. Like, imagine if you made a 20-foot golem, and now it's, like, continually filling the water tank. Like, how are you going to stop that fucker?
I thought of a good modification they could make to the golem. Give it a butthole. So then the paper's only in there long enough for them to process it, but then it leaves their body. So they'll stop doing it.
You know, I gotta
it's like they digest it.
Need to get you in contact with the nearest synagogue. They'll hit you up to Golem Central, where they're always designing new golems, and I'm sure you'll find a good job.
I know. Aren't they so innovative?
So
golems innovative. Were genius.
It's like it has this really complex system in its body where it takes, like, it'll only be in there for 1 hour.
I get your golems for your time constraint needs.
Oh my gosh. Now I kind of want to, like, make a fiction based on it. I'm
capitalizing off of this now.
Like, I want to, like, read a story based on, like, a golem focus.
John's going to make a D&D campaign now. The Golem Company.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, a golem-led, like, filled society where instead of, like, artificial intelligence and computers,
you get artificial bowel movements.
Prune juice?
That's not artificial.
It's made, though.
Artificial. Isn't it weird that it's called prune juice when prunes are the dried version of the fruit? So why is it called prune juice when it's already been juiced?
You never heard of raisin juice.
Yeah, no, it's grape juice. But prunes are already dried. What is the fruit that prunes come from again?
I'm going to Google it. A plum.
Plum. That's so shouldn't it be called plum juice?
Well, I mean, prunes make you poop. Plums don't.
Maybe because prune juice just sounds more, like, phonetically pleasing.
Does it?
Prune juice. It has the same ooh noise.
Oh, jeez.
So it kind of rhymes somewhat.
You know, I feel like
instead
we're getting, like...
plum
like,
juice,
like,
which uses a different phonetic noise for the U.
You know, the silver lining of restarting the podcast was that we didn't get up, like, so that we could stop ourselves from getting as off topic.
Shit. Well, now I'm just teaching you guys a bunch of stuff about farming. Aren't you so excited? This bonus episode about farming.
Oh, man. You should start a farming podcast. I won't be in it. You know, because I know nothing about farms. So, the other precaution is that you make sure to deactivate it on the Sabbath. For those who don't know, Sabbath is Saturday. You're not allowed to work on it if you're like an Orthodox Jewish person. The rabbi from Prague was pretty smart. He was smart enough to do this, but one day he forgot to turn it off during the Sabbath. I'll get on that in a bit. So for the story this time around, I'm going to tell the story of the Golem from Prague because it's the most famous when you look at golems historically. So Prague, for those who don't know, is the capital of current-day Czech Republic. But let's say we rewind time by 5 centuries. In the 16th century, Prague belonged to the Holy Roman Empire. There was a famous rabbi who lived there in the Jewish ghetto of Prague. His name was Jude Lo ben Bezalel, or Rabbi Lo for short. Rabbi Lowe was constantly worried about his people living in the ghetto, specifically around the time of pogrom, massive riots that aimed for the genocide of the Jewish people. They'd been going from city to city in the Holy Roman Empire at the time. Side note, a pogrom is not just one event. It was a term made in Russia during their attempts to eradicate the Jewish people, and since then was used to describe any attempt by the military or rioting civilians that aimed to cause a Jewish genocide. Like, for instance, the Holocaust is considered a pogrom to a certain degree. Lowe did what he could to avoid it happening in Prague, but he knew it was just a matter of time at this point. So he prayed to God for guidance and on how to defend his people from this injustice. And he slipped a piece of paper under his pillow. The next morning, he found the instructions on how to make a golem written on that paper. He was also instructed to make sure to destroy it after it has done its protection. The next morning, he found instructions. Oh, I already read that. All right. So, not long after he created the golem, a wealthy baron who lived nearby reported his stepdaughter missing. He says, "She has been killed by the Jews." The baron wanted to have any reason to kill the Jewish people because, wow, I really messed up this typo and didn't correct it when I found it the first time. So, after he made this claim, four leaders of the Jewish people of Prague, including the rabbi, were to be executed. In the court, as they were being sentenced as guilty, the golem strolls in, holding the stepdaughter. And the stepdaughter asked the baron, "Why did you lock me up in the basement?"
It's kind of weird that she's asking that and not, "Why is this thing manhandling me?"
It's probably because the stepdaughter was like, really hungry, and is like, "Oh, somebody's there to save me?
But, it's a clay man."
Well, I mean, the clay man helped her. Maybe they made friends.
I'm not gonna question it.
Well, you gotta think about this and that concept. This is like, this story has been adapted thousands of times, some for adults, some for children. This is kind of a weird version that's been adapted from both types, because it's like, I didn't want to do the standard adaptation because that's long. So I'm trying to do a short adaptation, and inevitably that includes some of the kid version stuff because I wrote a bunch of the short versions. I'm trying to keep it mostly adult. So think of it as kind of like, you know, people don't ask why Superman can deflect bullets when they're being saved, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
It's like she was trapped in a dungeon. So the Baron immediately releases the golem. So, after that, there's been a few more scenarios, stories told like in a couple, like comic book, like, you know, the Jewish people are in peril and the golem comes to save the day. And followed by that, the rabbi has pretty much found that, well, they don't need the golem anymore to protect them. So he remembers what God has told him is that to destroy the golem immediately. And he doesn't want to because he saw the golem as a pure-hearted soul. Like, he was such a nice, like, being that's helped him so much. Why should he kill him? After this, there's a few more stories about how the golem kept getting himself into trouble, such as getting enough water to flood the entire farm. But other stories such as that, such as, like destroying stuff by accident just because it was doing what it was told a bit too much, because you have to be specific in its instructions. Rabbi wasn't a fool, but stuff like this is inevitably possible. That's probably why God told him not to do it. So the kid versions, and actually plenty of versions, kind of split from this point. So I'm going to tell about two different endings, but there are more than this. One said that the rabbi was begged to destroy it by the people because of the amount of trouble and damage the golem was causing. So after the rabbi got it drunk off its ass with wine, he wiped away the first syllable of the Hebrew word for truth, which changes it into the Hebrew word for death, killing the golem instantly.
That's sad.
Mm-hmm. At least it got to live one banger night. At least it got to get lit. Yeah. So the other version, which I find is more interesting, is that the rabbi made sure to was careful enough to erase the first syllable of truth every Saturday so that the golem did not work on Saturdays. But one day, you know, the Sabbath, so it doesn't break God's will. One day, though, he heard his daughter was in the hospital and was gravely ill, so he rushed to the hospital as fast as he could without realizing it was Saturday, and he didn't wipe away the golem's letter for truth. And this is where it cut last time, so we're officially farther than we were.
Yay. And we're longer in, really? However that managed.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild, because we took a large break. Probably because I talked
about farming.
It's true. So, he rushed to go help his daughter, and then somebody came to him and started telling him something went wrong. Well, it seemed like as soon as the golem started working on the Sabbath, it went crazy. And it went on a murderous rampage. It destroyed a bunch of homes, and some stories say that he massacred a bunch of people.
Ish.
Yeah. So, either way, he went on a deadly rampage, destroying half the Jewish ghetto, and maybe, or maybe not, killing a few people. Alright, so let's move on to media.
Yay!
So, this media section is going to be a bit different to my other ones. Because normally I talk about specific media that the golem is in, and I could go over the literal hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of works that the golem has been in the last 300 years, 400 years, 500 years.
All right.
So, but, you know, my favorite thing to mention when it comes to this, I can talk about how in the last 40 years, the most accurate depiction to the original golem, talking about the Prague Golem specifically, was The Simpsons.
Okay.
And that's just in the last 40 years. Because they're in the silent era, there's been a few really accurate ones. But instead, I'm going to talk about its influence on media and culture as a whole. Believe it or not, it just kind of it transcends far beyond just being a cool creature concept. So what if I told you about all works today about robots and AI having feelings can be traced back to golems? Actually, a lot of the themes about robots and AI can be traced back to golems. Actually, the term robot came from a story about golems.
So thank your local golem for,
for, I guess, rabbi.
For everything. yeah.
If you like Westworld, thank the rabbi.
Westworld?
Like I said.
Oh, yeah, they are robots.
Literally.
Oh, any God, maybe I shouldn't have spoiled that for people who haven't seen Westworld.
Really? I mean, that's kind of it's revealed in the first episode.
Yeah, but you don't really know until the very end of the first episode.
I guess that's fair. All right, so, for instance, where the term robot came from was from a Czech play titled Rossum's Universal Robots, which, the way that they're portrayed in that story are not like contemporary robots is how we think of them. They were more like golems, metal golems.
That sounds like a good company name for my future golems.
Rossum's Universal Robots?
Yes.
That was a company.
Kingsley! What did he just do? He is causing
trouble. He jumped on the fridge and he also knocked over some utensil.
Oh my God.
Should I stop him? Should I put a pause and stop him?
That's okay. Just finish off your list.
So, like I said, everything about robots and AIs having feelings can be traced back to golems. And this might sound like a bit weird, but Frankenstein, though not technically a robot, is an artificial intelligence. So he's going to plop. He's going to jump. He's doing it. I hope that picked up.
Yeah, it did. I heard it.
Nice.
I think.
He did it, guys. He did it.
He did it. So, we got proof now.
So Frankenstein was inspired by golems. Mary Shelley has said that she's taken from stories about golems and put it in her story writing Frankenstein. Mm. The director, or writer, I should say, of Metropolis, you know, the big 1920s Russian film about the sexy robot lady.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but it sounds like something I should watch.
It's a classic film. It's one of the most remembered. Had inspiration behind that hot bot was a goal. Mainly because they say that she doesn't have a soul, yet she has a personality. That is a major theme in Golem Works. You wouldn't tell from the Prague one, but the story I just told, but there's a lot of stories about golems gaining an intelligence as they live. Yeah. That might sound a little familiar, doesn't it? Like robots that don't necessarily have emotions at first, but gain them?
Westworld.
Well,
they have emotions. They just gain, like, agency.
Mm-hmm. And agency is a part of that, too. Okay, sorry. So, literally all themes related to artificial beings wondering if they have a soul can be traced back to literature about golems. Mm. The existence of a golem is sometimes considered a mixed blessing, because it's not always good. Like I said, not all golems are good people. Like they said, the Black Sabbath golem, despite him being really nice, I said Black Sabbath, that's a band. The golem from the Sabbath freaked out on the Sabbath, and he killed a lot of people. But before that, he was a really nice golem. But these golems, not all golems are like that.
Not all golems.
So, golems are not intelligent, always. At first, they are just, and if they're commanded, they perform a task. They will perform the instructions literally. In many depictions, golems are inherently perfectly obedient. In its earliest form, the Golem of Chelm became enormous and uncooperative. In one version of this story, the rabbi had to resort to trickery to deactivate it because it was being so rambunctious and, you know, like kind of like a terrible two or an annoying teenager kind of deal. But I'll get on this. That's kind of an aside. The rabbi had to resort to trickery to deactivate it, and whereupon it crumbled upon its creator and crushed him. This creates the idea of the hubris of the creator and that his creation will undo him. This is very commonly seen in like a lot of works, and it also brings up the concept that, like, the Black Sabbath golem, the Sabbath golem, It also brings up the concept of, if you leave automatons, artificial automatons, sorry, what? Alright. Sorry, am I going over time?
No, I was just going to say we're at 43 minutes, just letting you know.
Sorry. This is the last bit. Golems, they are, they kind of show that if you leave technology... Actually, no, I'll let this guy say it. I forgot I actually put in a quote here. In an article from the International Journal of Humanoid Robotics, Frederick Kaplan writes that the golem illustrates how man can imitate divine creation through research and science. Golem stories were reinterpreted from this perspective, describing how the artificial servant becomes an uncontrollable creature that destroys everything along the way. If you leave it on a, like some people say that it just is inevitable. Others say that if you leave it unchecked, like if you're careless with the automaton, it will cause destruction. That's all I gotta say about the golem.
Alrighty then. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Okay, that break's going to sound really weird if we don't have an ad in there yet, but we're trying to get some sponsorships at the moment. Anchor actually pairs people with people to sponsor you, so
thank you.
Just Anchor, an explanation for that. We're not sponsored. Not yet.
Hope so.
It sounds like we are the way of talking about Anchor, but I'm so glad that I found it. So, guess what I'm doing? Guess. It's Japanese.
Oh, there's the obvious one of like the girl with the slut mouth.
No. Okay.
Toilet one?
In some iterations of it.
Okay.
I'll start this off with a story.
Let.
Not one I wrote. like John, because he's an overachiever. And I'm all about working smarter, not harder. John's looking like, okay, I'm not making fun of John. He's just better than I am in every way.
That's not true. Trey says, a genius.
Ooh-woo.
Honestly, you want to know why I write my own stories?
Why?
I'm too lazy to find a good one.
Wow. Okay, so we're just lazy in different ways, I guess. So, one night Satoshi was walking home. His cram school had just let out and it was nearing 10 p.m. As he passed through a neighborhood, he saw a beautiful young girl near the top of an abandoned building. She was leaning out the window, with her elbows propped on the windowsill. She looked down at him, contempt and jealousy hiding behind her eyes. Suddenly, the girl jumped out of the window. Shocked, Satoshi could do nothing but watch her fall. When the girl landed, Satoshi realized the horrible truth. She only had half a body. Her lower half looked like it had been cut off by something. Satoshi remembered hearing on the news about a recent tragedy where a girl was accidentally pushed off a train platform and onto the rail tracks. Onto the train tracks. The train cut her in half, killing her. But she was right here, in front of him. She started dragging herself toward him, a scythe in one hand. As she skittered toward him on her elbows and clawed like hands, a teke teke sound echoed around him. Before he could move, she pushed off her elbows, swinging her scythe at his midsection. Satoshi felt the scythe tear through him, and soon nothing. As he lay on the ground, blackness closing in around him, he saw her hate-filled face hovering close above his. A look of triumph crossed it. That would be the last thing he would ever see.
Whoa. You know what I first thought about when you said it was like crawling towards him?
Yeah.
The first episode of The Walking Dead.
I was going to say that one thing you sent me in seventh grade, that jump scare thing.
Oh, yeah.
The comic. Oh, God.
Dude, that
it still
scare.
Gives me nightmares to this
dude,
day.
It's so bad.
So, if you hadn't heard that noise right there, that teke teke noise, that is the name of the creature.
Oh, wow.
Of this urban legend. Teke teke. The name is the sound of her walking on her hands. Other names are shaka shaka, pata pata, kata kata, koto koto, and hijikake baba.
What kind of hands do you gotta have to make that noise?
Hijikake baba. Okay, so the teke teke is a female spirit that has no lower half. She uses her arms to walk and run very quickly, mind you. Appears in dark urban roads at night and will chase after people alarmingly fast. So instead of hearing teke teke teke, you hear teke teke teke.
Oh, you know, that makes sense. I was like, teke doesn't have, yeah, that one sounds like an actual noise out here.
Yeah, yeah. So, she's been said to be able to catch up to people speeding away in cars. I actually found an actual number of what people said that she went, and I fastest said 150 miles per hour.
All just on her hands?
Terrifying.
Just all on her hands.
On her hands.
Like, it would be one thing, like, it would be funny to think about her just doing a handstand the whole time. No. But, like, the idea of it just being her hands and elbows.
Most
is, like,
of the, like, art I've seen people do, because she has fan art, mind you.
Of course.
Most of them, it's her dragging herself, so she doesn't really do, like, a handstand, which I don't really know how you would get that teke 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 noise from, like, dragging yourself. It'd be more like a slap slap.
You know what I would think happened? It's like whenever she's just, like, chilling, her body's touching the floor, but whenever she's moving at 150s,
when
she's
she
airborne.
She gets rearing to go.
Yeah, she's airborne.
Okay, so when the teke teke catches up to you, it slices you in half with a sickle that she carries around. Where she carries it? Not sure. In some variations, she steals your legs for herself. In others, once you are cut in half, you become a teke teke yourself. There are many different variations on the origin of the teke teke, depending on what area you are in Japan. Some are an accident of a girl falling onto train tracks, other are intentional suicides. One of the most popular origins of the Teke Teke lead back to a girl from Hokkaido named Kashima Reiko. And I just want to give a trigger warning before I go on with the rest of the story, because there is a brief mention of sexual assault. So if you're uncomfortable with that, I'd say just skip forward another minute or so, because it's really brief. Maybe 2 minutes to be safe. So, Kashima Reiko was an office worker in Muroran, a city in Hokkaido, in the years following World War II. One night, Reiko was assaulted and raped by an American military personnel. Unable to cope from the trauma, Reiko went to a bridge overlooking train tracks and jumped, getting hit by an oncoming train. The impact of the train tore her body in half at the waist. This did not, however, kill Reiko. The extreme cold of that night caused her blood vessels to contract, preventing her from bleeding out. So basically, all the tears in the blood vessels just froze shut. She crawled all the way to the train station looking for help. When she got there, the attendant, rather than help her, just covered her with a plastic tarp. That made me so angry when I read that. I was like...
like, for what reason?
I don't know. Maybe it's like, oh, I just don't want to let this tonight. What a dick.
It was close. He was, his shift was over.
The legend says that if you hear the story of Kashima Reiko, 3 days later you will see her ghost. She will chase you, and because escape is impossible, even in a car, unless you have a car that goes faster than 150 miles per hour, which I'm sure the acceleration probably is not good unless you're like, I don't know, a race car driver, which is probably unlikely. It would take you a while to get up to 150 miles per hour and above, so she's gonna catch you.
Like, can she just do that flat? Like, just 1 second be chilling, and then the next second 150 oh, yeah. miles zoom?
I'm not quite sure, but I'm sure her acceleration is a lot faster because she weighs a lot less. I took a physics class once.
In, like, 12th grade.
I was gonna say, I'm like, it wasn't that long ago, and then I'm like, 12th grade is senior year, oh my god. I really thought you meant when I was a 12-year-old. Even if you get in a car, your chances of surviving an encounter are basically zero. So.
Only if you, like, jump on a jet plane will you be alright.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she yeah. can, because it's like,
maybe if you get air. On the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then cut her out. Eesh. Bad choice of words. In other versions, rather than appear 3 days later, you will get a mysterious phone call or a dream where the Teke Teke will ask you a series of questions which you must respond with a certain way. Otherwise, she will come for you. She will first ask, do you need your legs? Which you respond with, I need them right now. That's shady. I need them right now, actually. She'll then ask, who told you my story? And you must answer, Kashima Reiko. Ka as in mask, shi as in death, ma as in demon, rei as in ghost, and ko as in accident. If you answer these questions correctly, she'll let you live.
What's up?
Maybe.
All these Japanese urban legends with, like, questionnaires. Like, what is Japan's obsession with questionnaires? Like, this is the first urban legend covering.
I just want to test your knowledge.
But I at least know three of three that ask you questions before they decide to kill you.
Yeah. I almost, instead of this one, I was... Actually, maybe I might do it for a future episode, so I won't say, but... This one's, like, a whole website just dedicated to a question, so I was gonna say. Don't look it up, guys, because I might do it. It's interesting. Let's see. So she'll maybe let you live if you answer the questionnaire, right? Like, if she's feeling in a good mood, and she's like, maybe I'll keep my scythe away tonight. So, the Teke Teke is what is considered to be an onryo, Japanese for a vengeful spirit who can physically farm... harm.
Instead of a scythe, it's like a hoe.
And then, well, like, you could still use scythes. Well, technically, they are a farming tool.
Oh, fuck. You know, I was leading up to a joke where it's like, you see a Teke Teke in the wild, and you're like, keep that hoe away from me. But Scythe is a farming tool. Joke is ruined. She can physically farm you for your legs.
Actually, our whole existence is just, you know, the Teke Teke farming us for our legs.
What is this, like?
Watch.
The reverse of, that's a spoiler. No. That's a big spoiler there.
Okay. Go watch Land if you like anime, which you probably do if you're listening to us, because, I mean.
Most of our friends are weebs, and most of the people that are listening to us are friends.
Yeah, because we just haven't made it big yet. So, a popular depiction of an onryo is Kayoko Seiki, the spirit from The Grudge, or Ju-on if you're Japanese. Speaking of movies, there was a film released in 2009 titled Teke Teke, based on the urban legend. Following the story of a young girl who learns about the legend of the Teke Teke after her friend is killed in a gruesome way. The main character, Kana Ohashi, is played by Yuko Oshima, who is a former AKB48 member, stan AKB48 in IZONE. Yee. It's actually pronounced as one, I'm pretty sure.
Is that a
I don't know.
J-pop group?
Yeah, AKB48.
Alright, right now I'm looking at, like, now that you told me there's a film, I want to see how they animated the Teke Teke run.
It's not animated.
Well, I mean,
it's live action.
All right. But I'm assuming that it's 3D model.
No, they just cut a woman in half for the role specifically. Japan's cool like that.
They have the entire movie on YouTube if you guys want to watch it.
Wow.
I just want to see the, please. Oh, crap. Copyrighted music, probably.
We'll edit that out.
Sorry. I just want to see the footage. No, it's all still images, goddammit. I'm gonna cut all of this out if I can't find it.
Well, we can just post it on the Facebook.
Oh! Found it!
Okay, show me. I'm really curious. I didn't watch it.
Alright, so we have the footage there.
What the?
Right?
She was fly. Oh my god.
She's like a leapfrog.
What? What is this? She's just like, stop.
It's not 3D animation like I thought, or if it is, it's definitely pretty well cut.
So I think I'm gonna watch this.
It might be practical effects, or it might be. It's only an hour long, so I mean.
Wow. Okay. Short. We'll just post that onto the Facebook because that's pretty funny looking. But speaking of these are things that I forgot to write in my notes, but I still remember from 2 weeks ago when I was doing my research, like I was supposed to. But John's giving me a look.
I promise you, this is a projected look. I am not giving a look. I'm just looking at you with a sly smile.
Well, so I mentioned earlier about the bathroom thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there's some variations of the Teke Teke where she will come to you in your weakest hour and attack you in the bathroom with a scythe.
Wow, rude.
Or she'll like I read one where it was like she called the person while they were in the bathroom and they did the riddle wrong and she came storming in the bathroom with her scythe. Oh man, there's no running away from that one.
So, like, how big is the scythe we talking? Like, is it one of those, like, one-handed scythes that you use, like, personally, or is it one of the big ones?
No, it's a small one.
So it's She's not like a reaping the Grim scythe? Reaper,
no.
Okay.
She needs her hands to run, obviously.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she can one-hand it. I don't know how strong she is.
But then another, what was the other one I was gonna say? Oh, darn it, I lost my train of thought now, John.
You're thinking about bathrooms? She stormed in there.
I noticed in the trailer that they were saying like a saying. In certain variations of the story, there are ways to combat the Teke Teke, and that is to get like charms, medallions, or like recite like a mantra that's like a good luck charm or something.
Is it Shinto or Buddhist? Do you know?
I have no idea, John.
Okay.
This is like a pretty recent legend.
Well, it's probably related to one of the two. Probably both, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, there. I guess there's some hope for people. In most of the stories, like the popular iterations of it, there's no hope. So It's mostly just probably just another one of those stories that kids pass around to scare the crap out of each other late at night when they're walking home from school, like cram school, like poor little Satoshi. So.
All right. So I also forgot to say something about the golem, and I decided to wait till you were done so I didn't mess with
about the golem.
Yeah, I forgot to say something. So, I didn't go over the folklore bit, like what made it folklore, because I just told the stories, the origin stories. I didn't talk about the folklore bit. It's going to get a little sad. Do you have any memes to follow this up with? You got a joke?
Yes.
Okay. So this is going to get sad for a second. The reason why I call it folklore instead of mythology or something like that, because it was passed around a lot that the golem was like the savior of Jewish people, that no matter how bad things got, the golem would come there to protect them in their darkest hour. Because even when, like I said, the end of the story of the golem from Prague, there are some iterations that say the golem was not destroyed, but just kept in hiding, so that it could be revived whenever needed. And even during the Holocaust, there was a Jewish writer who wrote begging the golem to come back. Not literally. Like, he wasn't literally begging for it, but it was some kind of weird metaphor. Like, it was like a... It was supposed to be an emotional appeal.
Aww.
Like, it was just sad. Versus him, sad. Like, literally begging the golem. It was like some kind of self-aware bit of it, that their cause was truly hopeless. Aww. And it's just like, as we go through history, the more I learn about Jewish history, like... In relation to the last 2,000 years specifically, they've had a rough time of it. I won't talk about Zionism, but before that, before the Holocaust, even the last like 100,000 years, not 100,000, but like 100 to 2,000s of years, or hundreds to thousands of years, they've gone through a lot of problems. Like, they were enslaved by the Egyptians, they were prosecuted by the Christians. It just, like, nonstop trouble for them. So the golem was kind of a reassuring thought. Like, Jewish people around Czech Republic and stuff. Like, even now, if you go to the Czechoslovakia/Czech Republic, you'll see golems a lot, because it's a big part of the culture now. But before, it was just seen as a way for Jewish people to feel safer and to feel happier to know that they have a hero. I also forgot to bring up that Superman was inspired by the Prague Golem. The first comic book hero... inspired by golems. Because he was a defender of the people in the darkest hour. Alright, that's done. Where's the joke?
Why don't we get Kashima Reiko a pair of golem legs?
Why not we give Prasu a golem body? Make them meet up. Make them complain about their lack of body parts.
Why can't we just get all the urban legends that... are missing body parts and get them to a conference where they can all just mash together into one abhorrent abomination.
All right, Lovecraft, calm it down a minute.
That's all I got for today.
It's kind of weird that Frankenstein really is a flesh golem.
Yeah.
All right, good night, guys.
Good night, and don't let the cats bite.
And don't let golems work on the Sabbath.
And don't answer unknown phone numbers.
Wait. The golem, the rabbi rushes into the synagogue, forgetting what day it was. He looks at the golem, which is working peacefully, and he's like, oh, thank our TGIF.
And then he gets a call on his cell phone. And then he's like, what is this? An unknown number. And then he answers it, and they're like, do you need your legs? And he's like... and then she's like, you didn't answer fast enough. And all you hear is in the background.
And then the teke teke golem fight.
Whoa.
But no. Do you get my joke?
What was your joke?
I said TGIF.
Oh! I get it.
All right. Bad jokes aside.
Oh, God.
Who do you think would win in a fight? The golem or the teke teke?
Leave your... responses in the comments.
Whatever thing you're using.
Yeah. If you can comment on whatever thing you're using.
The Facebook page is probably the best one.
I suppose.
It's the only one we both check.
Yeah. You check the Facebook page?
Often. whenever I, like, it's directly,
oh, wow.
It's directly tied to my Facebook account, so.
Oh, yeah, mine too.
So, like, whenever notifications come, though not often, I'll be checking it.
That sounded sad. Oh, not often. Give us more notifications, people. I don't know.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we don't really, we'll make more posts. We'll try to engage more.
Yeah.
All right, good night, everybody. Let's try to log off this time.
Good night. Goodbye. Take it, take it, take it.
The only thing I responded to was writing your command on a piece of paper and then shoving it into its mouth. You gotta make it bore the paper.